All right. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of my message today is, I don't always have a title. Randy always asks me, what's your title? I said, I don't know, just make one up or something. And he does, I mean, he goes by what was taught. Sometimes he texts it to me, oh, that's good, that's fine. But today I have a title, Randy. Sound Doctrine from the Word, from God's Word. Sound Doctrine from God's Word. 2 Timothy. Oh, I got to go the other way here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Because it kind of all goes together here. And Randy was teaching from 1 Timothy and covered some of these things as well. Verse 10 says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. He is talking to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, but Timothy was also a child, a spiritual son of Paul. Am I right, Randy?
Yes.
Yes. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he's saying, Timothy, you know me real well. Yeah, he was there. But evil men, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if we begin to experience some persecution, maybe it's not physical persecution, maybe it's more mental or people coming against us and so on, and we start experiencing persecution, we should not be surprised. Because Jesus said earlier to his disciples, he said, they're persecuting me and you're going to be my sons, you're going to be a child of God, and they're going to persecute you too. So we don't get discouraged because that happens. In fact, we rejoice. Because it kind of proves that we're on the right track. If it's not my own doing, if it's consequences of some things I did, that's not persecution. Amen. But it says, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. In other words, you learned them from me. This is what Paul is saying. And that from childhood, underline this part. Well, you can't in your phone. Well, yeah, I guess you can in your phones. You can highlight it. It says that from childhood you have what?
No.
You have known the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
He's talking about people being deceived, especially in the end times and the deceptions that would come. But he says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures and are able to make you wise. What is? The Holy Scriptures. Now when he talks about Holy Scriptures here, he is not just talking about things that were heard. He is talking about the written word of God because they had the Old Testament as we know it today. So he's not talking about something out there that you can't put your hands on. He is saying these holy scriptures that you have known. So apparently Timothy was well versed, and as he was growing up, he was taught the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. So that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the point here is this, that he can learn about salvation, he can learn about the Messiah through the Holy Scriptures. And that's why they used the Old Testament in the book of Acts when they preached. They had many scriptures from the Old Testament, and even in the epistles, Paul used many scriptures. They were real written scriptures on scrolls.
Yes.
So he's not talking about something that was prophesied or something that was spoken out somewhere. He said we have a more solid thing than that. And it's the same way today.
Yes.
We have a solid word of God in this book that we can hold with our hands, and they are the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
And they will keep us from being deceived.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Again, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying there shouldn't be signs, wonders, and miracles. That is not what I'm saying. I'm not against them. I want them to happen. But I cannot use that as a foundation for my life. And he's saying the same thing to Timothy. He says they will deceive you, but then he goes on and he says they will come to try to deceive you. But then he goes on and he says, but you have known the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
In other words, you have something that will keep you from falling into this deception. All Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. We can be complete and well equipped.
Yes.
It's not just talking about those that are in fivefold ministry. It's talking about all of us. The man and woman of God, we can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. But it comes as we build the foundation of the Scriptures into our lives. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe it's the Word of God. Everyone should have said amen to that. Don't we believe it? And there are many places, I don't like to be on the negative side, but some things have to be said sometimes. There are many preachers, pastors, who no longer feel that the Scripture is totally inspired by God. And therefore you find them falling into deception and aren't even preaching the Word of God today. And a good example would be healing. If we go by experience in our belief and our trust in God for healing, you're not going to believe that God can heal you. Because we go by some kind of experience. Well, yeah, but it didn't work for this person. Why didn't it work for this person? We don't always know. But the Word of God is still the same. Okay, now go with me to Peter. You find 2 Peter chapter 1. Proverbs 4 verse 2 says that the Word of God will give you good doctrine.
Yes.
The simple definition for doctrine that you find in the New Testament, as an example, they said the doctrine of Christ, they were surprised and astonished, it says, by the doctrine of Christ, by his doctrine. Well, we think of doctrine many times maybe as a list of things that we stand for as a church, and I'm not saying that's wrong. But really, if you go to the Greek, the word doctrine actually means instruction. Very simple. Instruction. You can look it up in the Greek. So they were saying that the teaching or the instruction of Christ, they were astonished by that. Why? Because it came against, or it was different. It was different from what they believed. Their beliefs were based on the religious thinking and the practices that they had that was really not in the Word of God. And that's why when Christ came with a message of freedom rather than bondage, they were astonished. They said, how can this man speak like this? Well, we also know he had the Spirit of God and brought freedom. So our doctrine, our instruction that we receive must be based on the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says that they followed the apostles' doctrines or instruction.
Yes.
Now, why would they follow the apostles' instruction? Because it was based on the Word of God that they had. And through the Word of God, the apostles were able to prove that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yes.
And that would have been a hard thing to do because, unless you're really in the Word of God, because they don't have the hindsight that we do. They didn't know. But we have all this foundation and years of experience behind us by our fathers and forefathers and so on. And we've been taught those things. So it's much easier for us to receive it and to accept it. I'm not saying it wasn't based on the Word of God, the teaching that we have received. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, are you there?
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 12. It says, "For this reason I will not be negligent. It's my Amish tongue, I think. "To remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Where did the present truth come from? He heard it, or they heard it from Jesus Christ, and they believed it. And then it was based on what they had in the Word of God or how Jesus shared things with them. "Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent," meaning his body, that he's alive. Pop Dempsey, he left his tent. And we put the tent in the ground. But he is rejoicing today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's more alive today than he ever was before.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I miss him. But we rejoice. "Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my death or decease. For we do not follow," look at this, "we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's really talking about some teachings that were going around concerning the coming of Jesus Christ that weren't right. It wasn't what Jesus taught. And it wasn't what the Old Testament says either. Because there are prophecies in the Old Testament that tell us about the end times. Then he says, "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty."
Yes.
What does he mean by that? Well, let's read on. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory," meaning the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain."
Hallelujah.
So you can read about this. I think it is in Matthew 17 where we call it when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John.
Yes.
Peter, James, and John. He took them up to the mountain, and while he was up there, he was transformed into his glory. In other words, they saw the glorified Jesus Christ. And God spoke in a voice that they heard with the natural ears and said to them, "This is my Son." Now, that's an experience, isn't it?
Yes.
And you would think, well, I'm going to believe that for the rest of my life. You know, there's people that experience miracles and they say, well, I'm never going to let go of that. And before you know it, they hardly remember the miracle. Why? Because it can't be our foundation. Because it's not settled in here. The Word of God gets settled in here. And then you don't forget it. I mean, I've had some experiences, dreams and things like that. And first it was very vivid. But then as time went on, I forgot. I can't even recall sometimes what the dream was. Why? Because it wasn't settled down in here. And I'm not going to go by experience. I'm going to go by putting the Word of God in here. So it's the Word of God that I'm settled in. And talking about dreams, we could talk about that as well. There are dreams from God, but then there's other dreams that you just ate too much pizza. And if you try to interpret with your natural mind what you've received, if it's from God or not, it gets people in trouble. Tell you a little story. When we first got into the charismatic move, when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we had a Bible study every Tuesday night, and miracles would happen, and people would get saved, and we could, you know, talk for a period of time, just all the miracles that we had seen. But what happened was these people, the leaders, they began to look more to the ministry of the prophet to lead them, and it caused us to go astray. We finally left. I think I've mentioned this before to you. But I remember one thing in particular. So you had a prophetess, and she controlled everything. She controlled it by thus says the Lord to you. To the point where there's this young girl, and I was there that day, and I was disturbed by it, and we soon didn't go there anymore. So this young girl comes in, would you pray for me to see if God wants me to buy new tires? I mean, it's funny, but it's pathetic, but it destroys people's lives because they put their confidence in the prophetess and what she says rather than being taught by what God says on the inside. My responsibility as your pastor is I need to teach you, and many of you, I mean, you already know this, but we need to teach from the pulpit and train people how to hear from God for themselves. So they said, okay, let's pray. She comes in to the prophetess, well, there's actually two of them. And we know them today. They were good people. They still are good people. So they said, okay, let's pray. And they said, well, thus says the Lord, go get tires. Her tires were bald. You don't have to have a word of prophecy to tell you, and I'm not making fun of it. You don't have a word of prophecy to tell you the things you need to do by common sense. If you have bald tires, then you need to buy tires. But that's how pathetic it can come if we begin to trust in those kind of things rather than trusting what the Spirit of God is saying on the inside. Now, maybe she should ask, well, where do I get the money for it? Maybe that's what she should ask. I don't know. But back to Peter. I had a little side journey there. Where were we? It says, in 18, we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. They heard it. They saw things with their natural eyes. It was an experience. And so we have, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. I like what the original King James says. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And what was the more sure word? It was the Holy Scriptures. He was saying, no matter what I experience, the Holy Scriptures take priority, and I will listen and follow the Holy Scriptures before an experience that I may experience. In other words, I will put my trust in what the Holy Scriptures say. So we have a more sure word, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place. I mean, when a light goes on in the dark place, our full attention is on that light. You can't help but not look to it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's why we together have the kind of relationship that we can trust one another to help judge things when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to, in other words, what it's saying in the Scripture, and or anything that we may hear. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I'll close with a few more thoughts. One of the results of sound doctrine, if we follow sound doctrine, according to Romans 15, verses 4 through 6, you can write it down. It will bring unity in the body of Christ.
Yes. Absolutely.
because no longer will we be gone by our own thoughts and opinions, but we can point to the Word of God and says, this is what we believe. And if that comes against the opinion that I may have, then I need to change my opinion.
Absolutely.
And that will build unity. Sound doctrine will put down the opposition. It's Titus 1:9. 2 Timothy 4:2-3. Those who follow sound doctrine will not be deceived. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we don't have to be afraid of being deceived as long as we're in the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't preach this because, we got to really be afraid because we might be deceived. No. The Word of God will bring freedom, will take away control. When we're in deception, a lot of times there's control involved. Maybe somebody's trying to control us, or maybe there are certain things that brings control into our lives. A sure sign of a false prophet today is when they have a controlling attitude, and they use what is spoken to control people. If that's coming from the pulpit, you better tell me. You know, because it happens a lot of places. Well, I don't know if I should meddle, but if you don't read the Word of God for an hour, then this and this and this. If I tell you that, I'm trying to control you. If you don't tithe, then this and this and this will happen. Now, I can teach you about tithing and so on, but I don't teach it from a control. Well, if you don't tithe, then the church won't have money. That's control. If you don't come to church every Sunday, amen. We have no right to control one another, and if we try to control one another, we are not of the correct spirit. I'm not saying you have an evil spirit, but we're not of the correct spirit. We're not of the Holy Spirit. We can have the same mind because we have the mind of Christ. Sound doctrine will bring peace in a congregation. We have compassion for each other. And we need to not emphasize the minor issues, which will bring division, but we need to emphasize what's in the Word of God.
Yes.
And walk together into things and be submissive to one another. Amen?
Yes.
Now, I told Kathy this morning, when I say minor issues, we have different opinions what's minor and what isn't. But when we go to the Word of God, we can solve those things. But we have to be open. We have to be teachable. My brother Sam, he leads RMAI, which is a group of ministers in the Northeast who have been ordained by Rhema, and I'm part of that. And so every Sunday morning, he puts out a message to the pastors. And his message this morning just totally confirmed what I was going to share. He said, God's Word is our only unshakable foundation. When we speak the Word, it builds a solid foundation in our lives and in the lives of those who receive it. I cannot thank God enough for the foundation of the Word of God. I cannot thank Him enough for providing an opportunity for us to go to Rhema, or wherever He would send us, where we were taught the Word of God, and it changed our lives. We were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, but sometimes it just feels like you get born again again. We were set free from many of the bondages as a child. We got a completely different image of God, that He is a loving Heavenly Father. And we were taught how to be led and listen. We were taught how to listen to Holy Spirit. We were taught of who we are in Him.
Yes.
And that was so freeing. I hope we here today experience the same kind of freedom. And I'm sure we are.
Yes.
But if there's areas in our lives that there is still maybe a control factor or whatever it may be. My encouragement is that we get into the Word of God in that area that we're dealing with so that the Spirit of God can set us free. Abundant Life Center has a statement of faith. You can go online and you can see the statement of faith for Abundant Life Center. How many things are there? Maybe 7, 8, or 9. And the first one says this. It goes right along with what we're sharing. The Abundant Life Center statement, I think we call it a statement of faith on the website. Is it the website? Is that what we call it? That's where you can get the messages that have been preached. If you miss a message, they're way back. I mean, they're way back years ago, I think. There's many on there from Pastor Bill Hake, and now the recent ones are on there. So you can always go back and listen to it again. So there you also find, under what we're about, you find what is called statement of faith. Some people call it the tenets of faith or whatever you might want to call it. But you can go there and review it. But number one says this: the Bible is the inspired word of God, and by it all doctrine is established. I really like that. And I think in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about some more of them to make sure that we're on the same page. I believe today we leave here and we are on the same page concerning the Bible being, or the Word of God being, the inspired Word of God. And by it, all doctrine is established. We build that foundation into our lives, and then when we hear reports of what's happening in the Middle East, we're not shaken. Because we know what God's Word says. And we know we have the promises of the Word of God. But bring it even further home. You get a report of something in your life that is not a good report. If we are settled in the Word of God, we will not be shaken. Because the worst thing we can do when we have bad reports is to overreact. But if I have the Word of God, I know the promises of God concerning that thing, I won't overreact. But I'll know what to do, coming against the enemy, speaking the Word of God. So today, I am calling on us to make a renewed commitment to the Word of God. And you just do it in your heart. That we put God's Word number one. And just take inventory in our lives to see if there's areas where we're not doing that. And probably all of us have something that we need to work on, including me, including us. Amen. I think I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Worship you. Let's just worship him a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here that you've never received Jesus into your life. I think I know most of you. And you're saying, yes, I want to give my life to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you feel you have not been committed. Maybe you have fallen away. And you say, I want to recommit my life. So if there's anyone here like that, and you want to do that, if you could just raise your hand, and we will lead you through your prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's someone here, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And you say, I want that. Anyone? We'll pray for you. All right. God is good. Amen. His word is good. Hallelujah. And I challenge each one of us, let's walk out this new commitment to the word of God every day of our life in the name of Jesus. Let's stand. Father, I thank you again for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit ministering to us. And I pray for every person in this room that in the week to come, that we would experience your love, your mercy, your peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we go, then we'll go. Let's pray for Mike Billett. They come here, Mike and Jeannie. And let's pray for Jim as well. Jim and I know them. I know the names, Jim and Liz. Let's pray for Mike and Jim experiencing some health challenges. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we extend our love and mercy to them. And we pray, Lord, we pray for the healing power of God, that they would receive the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and health over their bodies. We command the sickness and disease to leave them. We take authority over it in their lives in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that they will experience the peace of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you.